Hi, welcome to Marvelous Mysteries, the podcast. I'm Rebecca.
And I'm Jaden.
And we're going to do some icebreakers, then share the mysteries that we saw, not solved, found.
We solved.
We found this week. But Jaden has some icebreakers for us first that she is randomly choosing from a list.
Okay. The first one is, what's your favorite scent?
Oh, that's a good question. I have a lot, and it depends on the thing, too, I guess.
We can share, like, your top three, how about?
Yeah, sure. So, like my favorite candle scent is, like, I like spice things, or, like, for candles, I like something with a little spice, and it doesn't necessarily matter. Like, I like apple cinnamon, or, right now we have, like, a grapefruit and spice thing for our, like, we have one of those wax melter things, which is kind of different, but it smells really good. I think my favorite, I really like lavender, like the scent for like when I have like a diffuser and like I like lavender, I have lavender shampoo and conditioner that I really liked. And I don't know what else, I guess. I like citrus too, like lemon or like anything like that. It smells really fresh to me, like especially for soap and stuff like that.
I really like hyacinth and lavender. I feel like those are my top two. Then I also really like the smell of, like, bonfire.
Oh, yeah, I do like bonfire
smell. I really like that smell. Actually, also, I mean, like, I would never want it as a candle scent, but, like, the tractor smell, I actually kind of like that smell. I know some people don't, because it kind of smells like gasoline, but...
I used to like the smell of gasoline when I was younger. I was like, yum.
I don't know why.
I know, it's weird. I do like bonfire smell. I forgot about that.
Yeah, it's, like, one of my favorite scents. Like, you're driving, like, ooh, a bonfire.
Yeah,
like,
that's so true. Nice. I forgot about that. But though it does, the only problem is, like, it doesn't smell good next day or whatever, and it, like, my hair is really thick and curly, and even if I, like, I have to wash my hair that night, you know, after, if I'm in a bonfire, and it stays in my hair for, like, another day or so, even if I, you know, wash my hair really well. That's a good one.
I just lost one that I was gonna do. Give me a moment.
Okay.
Okay, what's your favorite flower or plant?
But I think my favorite flower, I like sunflowers a lot, and I do like red roses, like, or maroon roses. I think they also go really well together. I don't know if I have a favorite, like, actual plant. I've never had, like, a lot of plants.
No, yeah, me either. My favorite flower, I'd probably say, is, like, I really like carnations, just because, like, they're really big and, like, full. I like those. I pretty much like a lot of flowers. Like, I don't really like... I feel like my least favorite flower is, like, roses. Like, I don't hate them. It's just because, like, I like ones that are a bit more, like, wildflower-looking.
Okay.
You know? But I pretty much like any flower, I feel like.
I like, yeah, I like every flower, too, pretty much. I don't like,
lilies?
No, I like them.
Or tulips, I mean. Was it that one?
Yeah, I don't love tulips.
My mom likes them, so she's, like, offended.
I just don't think, I don't like them that much. But I think they look pretty, like, in a field. Like, there's, there's, like, a tulip festival near here, and whenever I see pictures, I like them. But I just, like, that's not the flower I would pick out for myself. Yeah. But.
I don't know what to do plant-wise, because, like, I haven't really had that many plants either. I guess, like, one of the few plants I've had was succulents. So I guess I'll say that, because I actually do like those. I just accidentally killed mine. So.
Did you water too much?
Well, our water is, like, well water, and apparently that's bad for them. I didn't know that. My mom was, like, after they died, she's like, oh, yeah, you use, like, filtered water. And I was like, dang it.
That's interesting. Yeah, I have, I've never had, like, an actual plant. I like, there are a lot of plants, I don't know what they're called, but they're, like, spiky, and they have, like, light green and dark green on them. I don't think that's what they are. I don't know what they are. I've seen them, and I'm always like, I love that plant. I think that's pretty, but I never get them, because I'm like, I've never...
It's not like a...
I definitely don't know what it's called.
The only ones I can think of is, like, an aloe vera plant or something.
It's not
like that.
It's definitely not that, but I do like them. I did, someone I know, like, one of our friends, like, they have a lot of plants, and then she, like, showed me, she's like, I like taking the stuff out of them, and then she scooped out the, like, the aloe. Yeah. I like to feel them, because they're, like, squishy. All right, what's the last one?
If you could learn one new personal skill, what would it be? I know what mine would be.
Okay, go ahead, share yours.
I want to learn, like, self-defense or, like, some sort of, like...
Oh, okay.
More, like... I'm trying to think of the word. Basically self-defense, but, like, maybe a bit more, like, survival skill-based.
Okay.
I don't know when I would need it, but just you know, in case.
I know, like, maybe basic self-defense I've, like, just read about, but not, like, enough to inflict. All I know is, like...
If someone's choking you, like, how you hit, like, you're supposed to hit their hands, it's, like...
Yeah, I know certain... I know certain places you're supposed to hit. I know, like, Isaac's always, like, if you can, like, press your hands into their eyeballs.
Yeah, you that you hit, like, up on their nose and stuff
like that. Yeah, so, like, stuff like that I know, but, I don't know, like, very, like, super good one. I know one of my friends, like, my friend's mom's friend or something was, like, taught us in eighth grade a couple, like, things, because she went to a self-defense class, and she was just telling us all that. I guess my skill, I don't know, there's a lot that I would like to be good at or whatever. I mean, all these skills, I guess I could learn, but I guess, that's hard, because there's a lot. I think I would like to do, like, have, like, the skill to, like, write or something like that, because I really like reading, so I think it would be cool. Like, so I've always, like, kind of been, like, I would love to, like, write a book, but I just never, like, I never practiced, so I never got into it, you know? Like, I was, in high school, I was like, maybe I will, like, try to write some stuff, but then I never did, you know? So,
yeah,
I think, like, that would be cool.
It's definitely easier to write if you read a lot, right? Because you have, like, all those examples and everything like that. I don't know. I feel like it, I mean... I guess I've always kind of, like, written since I was, like, really young. I mean, just for, like, school and for my own thing. But I feel like if you just kind of, like, keep at it quite, like, daily, you can pick it up pretty fast or, you know.
I think that or, like, painting. I would really like to. That would be cool to be good at. Because I like, I used to kind of, like, I'm not good at it, but I used to paint, like, a little bit with, like, my sister. We do it every once in a while. And, like, they weren't good. But it's, like, very relaxing to me, you know?
Really? It stresses me out.
Really? It's very...
Yeah, I don't know why.
I like, how the brush is. And, like, I think it's very relaxing. So I would like to, like, be good at that. And, I mean, I could, like, try to practice. But I'm just, like... It's also... That's an expensive thing to try to... I feel like... Because you have to get the nice canvas. We used to just do it on, like, computer paper.
Yeah.
It's, like, we didn't care, you know? But, like, I think it's very relaxing. And she used to have a lot of paints and stuff.
Well, I have a lot of paints if you want some.
I have some, too, for my wedding. Because we did the fingerprint things. And I think they're nice ones. But...
Yeah. I would love to learn, like, watercolor. Like, I would so badly want to know how to do watercolor. And I...
Oh, we did that. Because I took a painting class in high school. And I liked that. Yeah, I did. For my senior year. So I...
No, yeah, me too.
And we did watercolors. And I did buy... I bought my own. Like, you could buy some. And she had some. But she didn't have that many.
Mm-hmm.
So my mom, like... Let me buy some. It was a pretty fun.
It just always looks so pretty when people do it.
Like, mm-hmm. Mine wasn't...
It's just it bleeds so easily, you know?
Yeah. Mine wasn't great, but, like, I mean, like, I was, like, kind of impressed with it. Because, like, when you do it, like, up close, it's like, this looks really, like, trash. Yeah. And then I looked from afar, I was like, this doesn't look so bad. It wasn't, like, as good as, like, some of the ones, you know, she saved from people that did well. But, like, I was like, you know, like, I'm, like, happy with this, you know? But painting would be a good one. When I was... I used to be really into art when I was in elementary school and, like, through middle school. I would, like, look up on YouTube, like, how to draw a person or how to draw whatever, and I'd just copy it again and again and again until it would get better. And then I drew a picture of my friend, like, for her, and then she, like, laughed at it so hard she cried, and then I never drew again.
Oh, no.
I was so like, sad. I'm done with this. So, it's fine. Sorry. It's kind of bummed, but then I never drew again. So it's like, now I don't draw.
Well, there's this one artist if you want. They're no, YouTube, it's okay. You can follow it.
It's okay. Thank you, though. I'm fine now.
It's me. It's my YouTube channel.
Plug it in. Okay, anyways. I think I went first last time.
Well, yeah, because you're the one that had it.
So can you go?
Okay. So mine's not that long at all. Like, it's called the Cape Intruder. And I tried so hard to, like, look up stories, like, individual stories of, like, instances that happened, but not that many really popped up, so that's gonna be pretty vague. So, this is an unsolved case. It was a recurring one that happened in a neighborhood a while ago, in 2005. So, in the town of Cape Elizabeth, Maine, the community experienced something unnerving. During the night, victims who kept their doors unlocked, would wake up in the morning to catch a brief glimpse of a man staring at them. Before they could react, the man would flee the scene, leaving the house just as it was before he entered it. Nothing was stolen, nobody was injured or killed. All he took was their privacy when he snuck into their bedrooms to watch them sleep. There was a rough sketch made depicting a man in his early 20s playing on the local news. Everybody seemed to think that they knew who it was, and the police received a number of calls from concerned citizens named possible suspects. Although two people named the same person, the police never did catch the Cape intruder after some intrusions in August, December, and February. He never did break in again, and they never really heard from him again. I'm going to show you the picture of him really quick.
Okay.
The sketch. He looks, I don't like how that looks. Like, I saw the picture at first, and I was like, he kind of looks like an alien.
Yeah, he does look strange.
Anyway. So, there's just three really short stories. I can try to find more, maybe. I don't know. Oops. So, the first one was from a woman. I think she, did she call the police, I think? I don't know. But, so the Cape Cod Police Department is reminding residents to lock their doors tonight after a stranger attempted to break into a woman's home. Linda Clute was in her bedroom on Monday night when she heard a noise at her back sliding door. When she walked out of her room to check, she was face to face with a stranger. And she said, "I didn't know if my son had woken up and was out here, so I was just going to walk right out, and yeah, it wasn't." Clue, who lived in the same house for 32 years, ran back into her bedroom, locked the door behind her, and called 911. "I think he ran away, but I didn't hang around to watch," she said. Nearby resident Linda Tyson woke up to the officers knocking on her door, and she said that it's something that doesn't happen in this neighborhood, and you think you're safe, and you just feel secure, and then something like this happens and makes you feel insecure and violated.
Mm-hmm.
Clue said nothing like this had ever happened before, but now she's scared to think of what the stranger wanted. "I have a 13-year-old son, he's at the opposite end of the house," Clute said. "I mean, somebody could have killed us, you know? You have no idea what frame of mind they're in." Investigators conducted a fingerprint test, but unfortunately the results were negative. Police don't have a great description of the suspect at this time, but remind everyone to lock the doors. That's the first one. Chair hurts. The next one is really short. It just says that Cape Elizabeth, Maine, imagine leaving the home in the morning, only to return later in the day to find her home had been intruded and left spotless.
That's so you just cleaned her house?
Yeah. I mean, like, not the worst intruder.
Yeah, okay.
That's just what happened to a Cape Elizabeth resident who lived on Shore Road on June 19th. According to the Cape Elizabeth Police Department, the man left the door to his house unlocked for a plumber expected to make repairs during the day. When he returned home, he found his house cleaned and even a load of laundry washed. He reported a burglary to the police. After looking into it, the police said they found a cleaning service had been hired to clean a short-term rental property nearby and accidentally cleaned the wrong house. So, That's what they said. Also, I was going to say something, and I just forgot what I was going to say, so never mind. Anyway, the next one is, there's a woman who says she feared for her life as a drunk stranger broke into her bedroom and professed his love for her. The mother of one says she went to sleep at about 1:30 a.m. Monday morning and hours later woke up to a man standing over her. "I instantly just became a fear of my life. Mainly, I thought how I was going to survive this," she said. Her quick thinking is what helped her escape such a terrifying situation. The woman says she knew what to do when she realized the intruder wasn't smoking a cigarette. "Maybe I can convince him to take a cigarette outside and somehow I'd be able to grab something to defend myself. Somehow I could fight," she said. She was able to guide him outside of her apartment, lock all doors, and call the police. The woman says she isn't stopping yet, especially because the Cape Cod police did not arrest the man. "Honestly, I don't feel like they're trying to protect us out here in the Cape," she said. A neighbor who lives right upstairs says he lived in the complex for months, and it's been relatively calm. But with young children, he's making sure to stay on high alert. "We're just going to have to keep everything locked and secure until this gets solved," he said. The woman says she feels forced to take matters into her own hands, and today maintenance installed new locks and security. She said this experience is one she will never forget, and she just said he took a lot from me, maybe not physically, but emotionally, he stole a lot. That's literally the end of it. It's really short. Also, when I was looking up, the stories of this, I don't know, these are the stories that popped up for it, the different articles, but I guess I don't know if it was the same man in all these instances, you know? Yeah.
That's terrifying. That's, one of my biggest fears, even though, we live in an apartment, and, it would be pretty hard for someone, someone would either have to climb up, we live on the third floor, so someone would have to climb up the balcony to get in here and, break through our door or somehow get into the building, you know, because our actual door's inside. But sometimes at night, I get freaked myself out. I'm just going to keep my eyes closed in case there's someone watching me so they don't try to kill me.
No, but, dang it, keep blinking. Anyway, but yeah. So, that, like I said, I don't know if they're the same man, but either way, it's just kind of like...
Yeah, that's creepy. I like that. Like, I would love to hear all about those stories, but it also, like, creeps me out so much.
Well, the picture didn't help me. When I first saw the picture, I was like, oh, okay.
There's this Criminal Minds episode where this girl, she's, like, basically the killer, like, chats with them online. Like, he, like, pretends to date them. And, like, she takes a picture of herself, and then he's in the background of the picture, like, through, like, watching her through the window or whatever.
Oh, I don't like that.
I hate that. Creeps me out so much. And I get freaked out. I guess I'm not home alone, like, by myself so much, but, like, when I am, sometimes I'm just, like, I'm just gonna go lay in bed, like, I was for a while, like, Isaac would go hang out with his friends, and he doesn't really anymore, but, like, I would get really creeped out for some reason, but it's just, like, me being creepy. I would, like, try not to watch super creepy things, too, you know, but...
Well, like, even where I live, like, where we live is, like, pretty safe, like, I know it is, but sometimes you just, you know, when you live in the country, you just hear a noise in your house, you're like, you know what, I'm just gonna stay on this couch.
I know.
And if they want to kill me, they can come find me, I'm not gonna go investigate.
That's what I was like, I think... I watched one of our, like, my godmother's dogs, and she lives in the country. Like, they have, like, you know, whatever, 10 acres.
Yeah.
And I was so creeped out about all the windows. I was like, I don't want to look out any windows. And, like, I made Isaac come to, like, stay the night or whatever, because I was like, I'm so creeped out. Like, I'm really, and because at first my sister and I were staying there.
Yeah.
And then I was like, because this was before we were married, and, I can't remember why she wasn't home. I think she was hanging out with her friend, spending the night or something like that, you know? And I was like, I'm really creeped out to be there alone, which, like, and now I was like, there are three dogs there, like, and they have, like, they had one lab and one, like, pit bull and then a small one. But, like, those dogs would protect me, I think, but, like, I was still really freaked out. Because they also, like, look out the windows and my god, I was like, it's just deer, you know, like, they're looking at deer.
Whenever dogs, like, suddenly perk up and then, like, look over your shoulder,
I was like, I'm not looking out any of the windows, because there are so many windows, I was like, I'm just going right to bed. It's freaky there. So quiet.
Have you ever heard those stories of people hiding, like, people's, like, cupboards and things?
Yes, I just heard one. A girl was living behind the mirror of, someone's house. Or, like, stuff like that. I kept hearing stories about that creeps me out so much.
One that I heard was, like, these two girls, like, they put their, like, they heard, like, a noise in their attic, so they put, like, their phone, I'm assuming it was, like, one of those tiny, like, little attic doors, like, the stairs came down, but, like, so they put their phone there and took a picture, and they brought it back down, and it was just a man, like, in their attic, just, like, looking at the camera, like, scared, because, like, they, you know, they
yeah, can't... I'm freaked out by that.
I don't like it.
Yeah, I hate that. I was, like, when I heard, it's, like, from a podcast, I guess, which I think it's really funny, it's, like, from My Favorite Murder podcast or whatever, her friend, one of the women that are, like, the main hosts, I guess, I don't know, one of her friends, I guess, like, lived in the country, and just some, like crackhead, you know, someone that was on drugs broke into her house, like, thinking the girl was all alone, and she was 12, and, like, he didn't think anyone was gonna be there, and so she just started, like, screaming, making the craziest noises, and, like, doing some weird stuff running at him, and it scared him enough to go away, because he was just, like, you know, on drugs looking for cash, you know, so, like, so I think that's a good idea, if it's clearly, like, someone, like, you know, like, on drugs, just looking for cash, trying to rob you, like, just be, like, crazy or whatever, you know, that's one good, unless they're just looking, like, they might try to kill you, but in that case, she was fine, but, I'm almost more afraid to, like, run, like, do stuff in the country, like, I know we're trying to move there, but I'm, like, I think I'm gonna be more afraid there, because, like, here, if I screamed and freaked out, someone would hear me, and someone would, like, my dad lives kind of, like, in a neighborhood, like, someone would hear me, and they would come out and be like, what's going on?
Yeah.
Like, no one would hear you, or, like, no one would care, you know, they'd be like, eh, it's fine. Like, they're just, like, kids screaming or whatever, so. Sorry, that was long.
No, you're fine.
Okay, so mine is the Oklahoma Girl Scout murders, I don't know if you've heard of this. So basically, it's an unsolved murder case. It occurred June 13th, 1977, at Camp Scott in Mays County, Oklahoma. The victims were three Girl Scouts between the ages of 8 and 10 who were raped and murdered. So their bodies, they were camping in a tent, and their bodies had been left on the trail leading to the showers, which was like 150 yards from the tent they were sleeping in, which was, like, which is pretty close to, like, where their, the counselors were. So, basically, so the first thing is, like, less than 2 months before the murders, during an on-site training session, a camp counselor discovered that her belongings had been ransacked, and she had a box of donuts that had been stolen. Inside was a handwritten note that, like, the note, the person who wrote it, vowed to murder three of the campers. The director of the camp was like, okay, this is a prank, whatever, but it said, like, we're on a mission to kill three girls. So, on the morning of June 13, 1977, the bodies were discovered, so...
It was hitting the mic.
Bang. Sorry. Okay, 7 p.m. on Sunday, June 12th, the night before, there was a thunderstorm in the area, and the girls were in their tents. There was Lori Lee Farmer, who's 8, Doris Denise Milner, 10, and then Michelle Heather Gues, who's 9. So they were, their tent basically was, farthest from the camp counselor's tent, basically. So at around 6 p.m., June 13th, sorry, I wrote this when we first started doing this, and I write them a lot better now, like, the way I organize them and stuff, so it's like, I'm like, what's wrong with me? Because this is, like, a backup one I had. Okay, so around 6 a.m., the camp counselor was on her way to the shower. She found the girls' bodies, like, in their sleeping bag in the forest. It was soon discovered that all the girls in the tent had been killed. Their bodies had been left on the trail, which I said. So they found a large red flashlight was found on top of the bodies. A fingerprint was found on the lens, but it's never been identified. A footprint from a 9.5 shoe size was also found in blood on the tent. So between 2:30 and 3 a.m., a landowner, like, near the camp heard quite a bit of traffic on the remote road near the camp, but they didn't hear anything. So around 1:30 a.m., multiple people heard, like, moaning sounds coming from the direction of their tent. A counselor investigated the noises but couldn't find the source. Many people just dismissed them. So basically, the big thing is, like, how did, like, sorry, this is organized really poorly. Like, the big thing is, like, how did no one hear them or whatever, but it's just because they were so far, I think, and I think it said they were thunderstorming. So, the main suspect was Jean Leroy Hart. He escaped from the Mays County Jail in 1973, so he's, like, out of jail for a few years. He was immediately suspected because of his escape and, like, his previous charges. He'd been convicted of kidnapping and raping two pregnant women, as well as 4 counts of first-degree burglary. He was raised about a mile from the camp. So he was arrested within a year of this. He died with a heart attack, but he's, like, never been, solved. So the evidence against him is that hair samples from the body were exactly the same, according to, like, a chemist. They said that they came from Hart or from someone's hair with very similar characteristics. So as of 2015, the FBI said that there's, like, hair analysis or whatever has been kind of discredited as a forensic technique. Mm-hmm. So there was a cave, like, that's kind of near that camp that he had, like, hung out in or, like, hidden while he was on the run. So they found items in there, which were a pair of sunglasses, which they thought were stolen from the camp counselor, a roll of tape that matched the tape found at the scene of the crime, and photos reportedly developed at him who worked at a prison lab. So when the flashlight was, like, modified, and apparently he had, like, modified the flashlight in a similar way when he, like, in his previous crimes. So he was on trial in March of 1979. The local sheriff said, like, he was 1,000% certain that he did it, but the jury acquitted him. So, the question is, like, did he do it? So, So the autopsy report thought that maybe two people did this because there are two different types of knots used. So it's possibly it's not him too, because like the victims were so much younger than him, than his previous ones, you know, like, but the other like theory is like, why would he admit to like sexually assaulting minors then? Like, even though like, cause he was like willing to admit that he sexually assaulted the pregnant woman, but like the other woman, but like child molesters are not treated well in prison.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I'm assuming that's why, but he has 11.5 size feet. Okay. I'm so sorry. This is organized so poorly. I did so bad. This is like the second one I ever did, and so like I'm much better now, like organizing like how it makes sense to me. But okay. So this is kind of like some other evidence. So apparently there was a lead brought forward by a man like summer before that checked out, but they found nothing whatsoever to indicate that there was anything to continue investigating. So Ted Letourneur, a former private investigator who assisted officials in the investigation, says he believes the story of Reverend Gerald Manley. Did I even talk about this? Okay, let me talk about this. I'm so sorry. This is so bad. So, let me read this a little bit. First, I'm so sorry. Okay, so basically, I think. Okay, so Manley said he had made friends with some people who thought he needed a Christian influence on June 12th, 1977. Letourneur said Manley claims that he was driving and ran out of gas, and some of the young men drove up to help him. The men who had been drinking drove Manley to get gas. Letourneur quoted Manley as saying, like, he claims that the men were discussing a purse that they had stolen from a counselor's tent at camp. After Manley was returned to his car with gas, he said that he went to Tulsa to see his friends. He claimed he drove back to Chotillo. Okay, wait. How would you say this? Sorry. Chateau?
Almost looks like Chateau.
Chateau, maybe. Okay, sorry.
I don't know how it's spelled, though.
Okay, searching for one of the men. Because it was late, he pulled on the side of the road and went to sleep. He said that one of the men woke him up, wanted him to go with him to see some of the other men. He claims that the man led him to the tent at the Girl Scouts tent, where two men were standing outside of the tent. He said he did not recognize the man. So Manley did not want to go to the tent, but assured them that there was nothing inside. This is, like, all his, like, claims. So in the tent, he said he saw one of the dead girls lying on the floor and two zipped-up sleeping bags that appear to be dead bodies. One of the men picked up the sleeping bags, and the other man picked up the girl and left the tent. They dropped the sleeping bags when they heard a noise, and they went to a coffee shop to regroup. So, Letourneur says that he and Manley do not want to release the names of the two other men he accuses in fear of a lawsuit. One of the men is in prison for the murders of another murder. So, sorry, let me just check. Okay. Okay, so this says in 2008, DNA tests were performed, and biological evidence collected from a pillowcase found the camp revealed partial female DNA profile. Experts determined the female DNA profile didn't come from two of the murder victims, although they were unable to conclusively exclude the third girl, as a source. Yeah, so they tried again in 2008 again, but the DNA was, like, too deteriorated to try. In 2017, 30,000 in donations were raised by the sheriff in order to do new DNA tests with the, like, new advances in technology.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the aftermath, the Camp Scout was evacuated and shut down. Camp reopened. It opened in 1928, is still closed to this day, though the site is frequently visited by, like, ghost hunters, paranormal enthusiasts who claim that the site is haunted by the three girls. Two of the families allegedly sued the Magical Empire Council, which is the administering of Girl Scouts, for $5 million, alleging negligence. Trial, like, basically the big discussion was, like, that the tent was so far away from the counselor's tent. In 1985, a 9-3 vote, the girls decided in favor of Magic Empire, which was, like, they ruled against the family, but by that time, the main suspect, Hart, was already dead. So, like, nothing came of it. They didn't win the money, but, so the family of the victims, Michelle Geis's death, her father, Richard Geis, helped establish the Victims' Bill of Rights in Oklahoma, as well as the Oklahoma Victims' Compensation Board. He said that he felt, like, that his wife and him were ignored by law enforcement and the prosecutor, so he wanted to draft a bill coordinating centers in Oklahoma to keep victims and their families involved in every step of the legal process, which is really cool that he did that.
Mm-hmm.
The compensation board also helps with, like, victims' families with money to assist in their expenses and medical bills. Lori Farmer's mother, Sherry Farmer, founded the Oklahoma chapter of Parents of Murdered Children, an organization providing assistance to support the families of homicide victims. So yeah, there's not that much that was organized really poorly, but, this is the first, I, like, had it on file, I was like, I'll do that later, or whatever, and, yeah, I did not organize it well, because that was, like, before I got in a good, like, routine of it. It would have been better now, I think, but yeah, so there's no, like, suspects, still never been solved. It's really sad.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's like, I feel it's, like, really brave and cool of the parents to, like, start all these, you know, things, providing something else about it, but I can't remember if that's true, if that's another thing. I thought that, like, I thought there was, like, I guess he was a priest, but yeah, anyways, yeah, it's just really sad. Sorry, it's organized poorly. Still unsolved. It might have been that guy. What was his name? Sorry. Hart or whatever.
Yeah.
But they just had no evidence, so it's still technically unsolved. And he was, like, acquitted for the crime, which doesn't mean he didn't do it. It just meant that they couldn't, like, basically, the way it works is just, like, even if you believe he did it, I think for a jury, it's, like, did they have enough evidence? Like, do you believe without a reasonable doubt is the big thing. So, I guess there was none of that, which is unfortunate. But, yeah, that's all I have for this. You can check out our other podcast, Topics and Tea, if you like listening to us chat. But if you don't, you don't have to. That releases next week. We will release another episode of this podcast in 2 weeks. So you can like, comment, subscribe, whatever. You can send us an icebreaker if you want, you can DM us on Instagram or comment it or whatever. Or if you want us to do a story or murder, whatever, mystery, what are those called, urban legends, etc., go ahead and send it to us. But we'll see you next week.
Bye.